She always tells me I don't listen. She's like, you don't listen. You never listen. I've heard that every time, but it's the other stuff. And I don't think I listen to everything, but I also don't think she says everything she thinks she says. There's just no way. 17 years of marriage, you're bad in 1,000, I'm over. I've never heard anything. She might say it all in her mind, but I mean, not everything makes it out of that maze up there.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
And I open it up an hour later and it says scene 2 minutes ago. And I'm like, okay, here he's just now he's plotting exactly how he's going to hang out with The Commercial Break after his show at the State Farm.
I'll leave passes.
I'm the guy with the jeans. I'll leave passes.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
And kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Holdy, the one and only. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Happy Monday or Tuesday. What day is it? I don't know.
It's Tuesday when we're recording.
It is?
This.
Okay. Because we don't record usually on Mondays,
yeah.
My Tuesday feels like a Monday. And I hate both those days. Do you get the Sunday blues? Do you
I
get
used
the Sunday
to.
Depression blues?
I used to when I had a job I hated going to. But
I get terrible anxiety on Sunday nights. I hate it, but not this Sunday night because I went and saw Nate Bargatze.
That's right.
Bargatze? I don't know. Bargatze? He made a whole big deal about making sure that everyone knew what his name was. He had a video that played ahead of time, making sure that people knew that it was not Nate Bargatze, but Nate Bargatze.
Oh, Bargatze.
Yeah, and I don't know why it matters. When you're that famous, does it really matter?
Right.
You could call me, I don't know, forehead dick. I really wouldn't matter. You talk and tell us about your weekend while I continue to figure out why our sign won't leave my microphone alone.
Well, once again, I have my throat issues here when I walk into the studio.
Why is that?
I don't know.
You got a problem with your throat.
Blue.
You think blue is a problem?
I don't know. I'm always...
I blame everything else on blue.
Yeah,
just go ahead. Throw in. Jump on. Pile on.
Yes.
Who cares?
I went to Greenville, South Carolina and saw my nephews.
South Carolina.
That's right.
South Kakalaki.
It's a good little town.
Is that where they're arresting everybody? ICE is arresting?
No,
North Carolina.
Charlotte.
Yeah. You saw your little ones?
Yeah, little nephews for a soccer tournament, and they won the whole thing.
Good
Congrats
for them.
Congrats to the little Giants.
Good pounding down on the little shithead other team. Get him! Is the coach one of those? Get him!
No, he's just firm enough, but very encouraging. You know, everybody's very encouraging now.
Until they get on the team bus. You ever seen that video? I think I played the audio a few times, that video of the guy, they're on their way to like a baseball tournament. And he's like, we're going to kill the other team. And anybody who doesn't tell you to kill the other team is just a bunch of pussies. When your dad says, lose gracefully, he's a pussy. Yes, I said your dad's a pussy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was crazy. I was like, wow, go coach. Good for you. Well, good. I'm glad that didn't make it better. That made it worse.
No, I know. What are you doing?
I don't know. It's a sign. It looks pretty, but it acts weird. And it's like... It microwaves popcorn if you bring it close.
It does.
I'm really afraid that my brain is just frying because if it's doing this to the microphone, it must be going through our brains also. Yeah.
Is it hot? No, it's not hot.
I'm not even sure it's really a neon sign. I think it's just like little light bulbs with a lot of electricity going through them. Anyway, I went and saw Nate at the State Farm Arena,
yes.
Two sold out nights here in Georgia.
Shows.
I was not gifted these tickets. I should have been, but Nate's people did not get back to me. I told Astrid on the way in.
We've interviewed like half of his show.
We've interviewed all of his show except for Nate.
Yes.
Except for the only one.
The only one.
Well, no, that's not true. We did Dusty. We did Aaron Weber. We did somebody else that goes in and out of his show. But so here's the funniest thing. So the whole weekend I'm saying to Astrid, I'm like, we should have asked for tickets. We should have reached out and asked for tickets. Not that we deserve tickets. Not that like someone needs to gift the Commercial Break anything. They probably don't even, even though they were on our show, some of those people, they probably don't know who the fuck we are, but they share the same agent.
Yes.
So me and my, you know, huge and bloated ego.
Well, it never hurts to ask.
It never hurts to
no,
ask.
No, you won't know until you ask.
And if we're being honest, we never ask.
Right.
We never ask. The only time that we have shown up at a show is because someone has said to us, I will give you tickets to my show. And then like little puppy dogs, we follow them around, follow their agents around until they give us tickets.
Yeah, but who did we go to? We went to
Tom Papa, Ari.
Yeah, Ari.
And then we have a bunch coming up.
Yes,
we've got
Nurse Blake.
And then I think we might go see Nacho Redondo. And then there's a couple next year that we're going to see also. And so that's wonderful because, you know, it's very nice when they offer and they do offer and that's great. But for a long time, we never said a word. They never said a word. I think everyone's just trying to feel each other out.
Right.
Will this show even be on?
Yeah, exactly.
A month from now? And the answer is, I don't know, but, yeah. But, you know, I get it. We're feeling each other out. You know, it's kind of, we're kind of an unknown entity, but as we've become, you know, I guess as we've kind of driven rivets into the road,
right.
Yeah, they're like, okay, they've done a few, you know, maybe it would be nice of me to throw out tickets. And it's very nice. And of course, if they want to offer us a ticket, I'll accept. But I just got in my head on Friday and Saturday that for some reason, Nate Bargatze owed me a bunch of tickets to his sold out show. Like good tickets, right?
Yeah. The
Even though we already had good
Side
tickets.
Stage.
We bought these months ago and they sold out months ago and all this other stuff. So, in my head, but in the house, I keep walking around telling Astrid, we should have asked for tickets. We should have asked for, should have called Bella, our agent. We should have called Bella and had her reach out and gotten tickets. And Astrid's like, we already have tickets. What are you talking? Why would we need extra tickets? We already have tickets and they're pretty good tickets. Why, what are we doing? And I'm like, I don't know, but if we get tickets, that makes me feel more important. So we should get tickets. Anyway, so I'm saying that to myself, right? I would never say that out loud, except here on this episode.
Right, and to everyone
streaming
else.
To 12 people out there in the universe. So Sunday, you know, so Friday and Saturday, I was sick. I didn't feel good. I was actually sick. And not really sick, but I was sick enough that, like, you know, Astrid had to deal
had
with
to
me.
Stay in bed.
Yeah. Astrid had to deal with me. I'm such a child, such a two-year-old. I don't feel good. So Sunday, I'm like, I'm not missing Nate. I'm going to put a little pep in my step, and I do. And my parents are going to come over and watch the kids for the night. It's very nice of them.
Very nice.
And I'm like, well, who's opening up for Nate? We had a friend who went and saw him on Friday night. So we knew that he had openers, but the girl who went couldn't tell us the names of the openers. And as much as I looked online, I couldn't find any official information about who was opening. So I asked chat. Who's opening up for Nate in Atlanta? And what chat spits out is an Instagram post. And it's Aaron Weber and a couple of other people.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm like, that's it. If Aaron Weber's going to be there, then I deserve tickets. We loved Aaron. Aaron loved us.
That was a good interview.
I loved Aaron. Aaron is great. So listen to this bullshit. Listen to how much egg I have in my face. Aaron, let this stand as my official mea culpa to you, my friend, who's probably, you looked at your Instagram and was like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Because as soon as ChatGPT spits out that information, I click on that and I see Aaron Weber on stage waving goodbye on Friday night, what I thought was Friday night. I go to Aaron's Instagram and I write from our commercial break account, hey, Aaron, super excited to learn you'll be at State Farm Arena tonight. Look for me. I'll be the one in the jeans. Thinking that, you know, in the world of whatever, Aaron's going to go, oh, you're going to be there. Of course you should. We should get a helicopter, fly it to your house.
Exactly.
Land you on top of State Farm Arena. Yeah. And then dancing girls will welcome you on the red carpet with bottles of Dom Perignon. And so that's what I say. And then I'm like, okay, now all I have to do is just wait for the response. I really don't expect that he's going to give me any tickets. I'm playing this up a little bit for the bit. But I was like, I'm excited. I'll see Aaron on stage. I'll see Aaron and it'll be fun. And hopefully we'll, you know, whatever. So, yeah. So I write that. And then I wait about an hour and I open back up Instagram. And, you know, you can see if someone's seen it. And Aaron, we have exchanged instant messages with Aaron before. So I can see if he's seen it. And I open it up an hour later and it says seen 2 minutes ago. And I'm like, okay, here he's just now he's plotting exactly how he's going to hang out with the commercial break after his show at the State Farm.
I'll leave passes.
I'm the guy with the jeans. I'll leave passes. We have a private suite right under the stage. You can look up at our balls while we're doing the show. It's amazing. So 10 minutes goes by, 20 minutes goes by, 40 minutes goes by, an hour goes by. Now I have to get ready to go to the show. No response from Aaron. And I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
And maybe you're second guessing yourself.
Yeah, or maybe it was Aaron's agent that's looking at his Instagram, or maybe whatever. I'm making excuses. A mind abhors a vacuum, and I'm making up a bunch of bullshit in my own head. Well, guess what? I then go to Aaron's Instagram page, not his DMs, but his page, to learn that Aaron is in Cincinnati on Friday and on Sunday doing a series of shows.
Oh, no.
And when I do further investigation, I find that Aaron, in fact, opened up for Nate at State Farm Arena.
Last year?
In 2024.
Okay.
And he told us about that on our show. So he wasn't even in the state.
No,
he was barely. He's not even in the same Mason Dixon side. Do you know what I'm saying? So, I'm like, here I am pulling some card with Aaron, and Aaron is probably like, "What the fuck is this guy talking about?" Like, you know, I'm not going to be at State Farm Arena tonight. So anyway, so we went, and sorry, Aaron, I'm really sorry. I feel terrible about it. And I felt bad about it all night. I was like, I don't know. Maybe I should write an email. And Astrid's like, just leave
Just
leave it alone. Next time he comes on, you can tell him all about it. It'd be a funny story.
Yeah.
So we go to State Farm Arena. And in case you don't know, State Farm Arena is our big basketball arena here for the NBA and concerts and stuff like that. It sits next to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And it fits 25,000, maybe 30,000 people the way that it was arranged for Nate. Chrissy and I saw Pearl Jam there about 6 months ago or something like that. It's a great place to see a show. But I know from being at State Farm Arena that it's built for basketball. It's not necessarily, even though it houses concerts, it's a big cavernous space. And if you've ever seen a concert in a big cavernous space, if it's not tuned correctly or you're not in the right area, sometimes it's just a wall of echoey sound. And luckily, Pearl Jam, we were close enough that it was tuned correctly for us.
Yes,
at least.
It was.
But when we got to the seats where my brothers were, wasn't tuned so great.
Right.
I keep thinking to myself, how in the world are these comedians going to do comedy in front of 30,000 people? That's like,
yeah, I've never seen that.
I've never seen it either. I've never been in an arena to see comedy. And I was doubting whether or not they could do this effectively. But of course, Nate's been doing this for like 5 years.
True.
I think he's like, one of the guys who took a tour out to places like this is making money and doing it repeatedly.
Yeah, because normally it's like big theaters.
Yeah, the Fox Theater.
Or maybe like an outdoor arena.
Well, they do those, you know, the comedy festivals like Bert Kreischer.
I've gone to see Chelsea Handler at one of those before.
Like an outdoor amphitheater?
Yeah, it was in Nashville.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I think that would be kind of the same thing as doing an arena with a less bouncy sound.
Yes.
But so I'm wondering how this is all going to go down. But tickets say 7 p.m. Traffic's terrible. We get there at 7:30. We're seated 7:30 on the dot. Lights go down. Some videos play on these big screens, like one of his SNL bits plays.
Like an on-time show.
Right on. Well, it said 7, but you knew that meant 7:30 because that's the way it happens, especially in Atlanta.
Were there openers there?
There were four openers. There was the MC who did about 7 minutes, 10 minutes right out the gate, warming people up. You know, yelling at people for being late, talking about the rich guys up front and the poor people out back, and, you know, doing the whole bit. By the way, was your friend Simon at that show?
No, he's in Argentina.
Are you sure?
He left to go on Thursday.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
Okay, because I could have sworn.
His doppelganger.
I could have sworn that his doppelganger was there, and he got pointed out by this MC to be talked to.
That's
I'll
funny.
Explain that to you later.
Okay.
I'll tell you why some of those details I instantaneously
I would
was
not
like,
have known
that
Simon.
He
for sure wasn't there, but he literally left for Argentina on Thursday.
Different Simon doing something very similar to what your Simon does, was pointed out in the crowd, looked like Simon, had an accent the whole nine yards. Anyway, okay. So one MC, then three openers. The openers were fine. They were fine. They were all effective at getting laughs. But here's what I liked about this whole thing. None of them stayed on the stage longer than 7 minutes. It was 7 minutes. Boom, boom, boom.
Yes.
7 minutes, MC came back, did 2 minutes. 7 minutes, MC came back, did 2 minutes. So essentially you had 30, 40 minutes of opening stuff. And then the big show, right? Here comes Nate, walks through the crowd, you know, high-fiving the whole nine yards, gets up on stage.
Oh, nice, he came through the crowd.
You have to. He was in the round. So it's this round stage right smack in the middle, two, three huge screens. Looks like what they had is some cameras set up in this, around the stage to get him at any angle. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, AI was doing the editing. Right?
Okay.
It was like cutting when he would turn his face, it would cut to him. So it's always tracking him. So even though we had good seats, I was still watching the screen.
On the screen.
Because I
wasn't
close enough to see the facial expressions. Mm-hmm. And Nate came on at 8:30 sharp and he did 60 minutes on the tits of material. 60 minutes. And that was 60 solid minutes of hilarity. The plate, he had the time. There is no comedian right now that I'm aware of that is using timing, space, or their body, i.e. facial expressions, better than Nate Bargatze.
Okay.
None.
I like this.
Zero. And he has been doing these crowds, these large crowds, for so long that the timing, you know, we've talked to comedians about this before. Like, I talked to, you'll hear this coming up, but I talked to Paul Chowdhury about doing Wembley. And I'm like, what's the, and he said, listen, the difference is the timing. Like, do you...
You have to be slower, right?
He said you have to know that it's going to reach the back a little bit.
Later.
Yeah, later. And so the reaction can be a little bit delayed. And if you're not aware of that, it can throw you off. In a club where there's, you know, 15 rows, everybody laughs at the same
time.
But it's different. And you have to pace yourself, right, a little bit differently. Nate had it down to a science. He knew exactly what to say, exactly what facial expression, exactly what hand gesture to make to wiggle the crowd in his direction.
Nice.
And even in a couple jokes where he was kind of slowing down a little bit, like you tell the crowd, like maybe wasn't as hype as it was just a minute ago, he brought it all back with the simplest gesture, the simplest word. He would drop one little facial expression and everybody would be busting out laughing. He doesn't do it. There's not a cuss word in the thing. He doesn't really talk about sex, drugs, rock and roll, none of that stuff. He talked about ChatGPT, marriage counseling, and some other stuff. Very benign shit. But the way that he did it was masterful. Fucking masterful.
There's a reason he's selling out those you know, huge places.
Listen, and the tickets aren't cheap. No matter where you sit in the house, the tickets aren't cheap. And he must be making a boat load
well, doesn't
of money.
He have a private plane?
He does have a private plane.
Talk to
How do we know
about that?
Is because Ari Shaffir told us. Actually, Ari had to be late to our interview.
Yes.
Which
we had to reschedule for like the next day.
We had to reschedule for the next day because he was going to be an hour late because he found out that a friend was in town and he needed to have lunch. He was in Nashville, and so when we got him the next day, we said, Ari, you know, how was your lunch?
Yeah, we were hoping it was like a boozy lunch or something.
I thought maybe he got drunk and he doesn't want to be on the show all hammered. And he said, no, I had to meet Nate. He flew into town on his private jet, so I had to meet him over there. And we went and had lunch near the airport. And I'm like, what? He's like, oh, yeah, he's flying in and out. Nate lives in Nashville. He flew his jet to Nashville. So, you know, the guy is on top of his game. We saw a master doing mastercraft. At the moment when he's highest power self, he is a master of comedy. And just 2 years ago, if you would have asked me, I would not have told you Nate was on my list of people to go see or watch on a special or none of that. None of it. I would have been like, Nate's all right.
Yeah.
But no, this guy is really fucking good. So if you got a chance to go
this
see
is a
Nate,
great review. Very helpful.
Don't DM Aaron Weber about it.
Right.
Or Dusty Slayer. Anybody who's been on our show. Can you imagine if our listeners started being like, I saw you on the commercial break and Brian said to hit you up for some tickets.
I can see it happening.
Yeah, so I come home and, you know, the kids are all nestled in their beds. And it took us a good hour to get out of the parking lot. It was insane.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we were on the 11th story
of this garage.
Yeah. And we had to wait for every story to empty out. Anyway, so we get home and my dad says, well, did you interview the guy? Like, isn't this guy been on your show? And I said, Dad, this guy's never coming on my, I mean, maybe if we're around, let's say 15 years from now, and Nate's, you know, back in the small clubs.
On his way
retired.
Down.
Yeah, like Seinfeld. Seinfeld isn't even doing State Farm Arena. Seinfeld's no. doing the Fox Theater. Now, mm-hmm. that might be because Seinfeld made a choice to do the mm-hmm. the Fox Theater. But, you know, when he's like at Seinfeld's stage, when he's back on his way to just, you know, retirement, making a little extra cush cash,
yeah.
then maybe Nate will stop by the commercial break. But there is zero reason for him to come here right now. Zero reason. And I don't know that we can handle him. I don't know. I think that he's just too good at what he does. We would look like clowns if Nate came on.
So it's a blessing in disguise. That's what we'll tell ourselves.
Yes. Sometimes you need to pick and, you know, which hills to die on, and Nate is not the hill I want to die. I don't want to be known as the guy who absolutely
flubbed
the Nate Bargatze interview because I started off by calling him Nate Bargatze.
Bargatze. Is he Italian?
He's redneck, I think. Okay. I think
he's redneck.
I think he was like born in some small Mississippi, Kentucky town or something. He says he's redneck. I'm not going to do this because I don't want to do his jokes because, first of all, I tried that one time here on the show. And I got yelled at by a very famous comedian. So I'm not going to do that. But second of all, I want you to be able to go see the show and it not be ruined by Brian Greene. But let me explain what one of the openers did a little bit. Oh, let me just share this. Nate, at some point, did this whole, he whips out his phone and he starts reading a WhatsApp conversation between his family members.
Oh, yeah.
About a situation that happened. And it had everybody rolling. It was the mic drop moment that we were all waiting for. And it was so fucking funny. I hope you get to see it. I hope it's a Netflix special. It must be. It's coming out on Netflix.
I'm sure he's going to have a special coming.
Yeah, this
out.
Is an all new hour, by the way. Yeah. Not one joke retold. And that's good, because if I paid that much money and heard the same Netflix special,
have to get fresh
I would have been pissed. Yeah, every comedian says that. Mm-hmm. You got to tour with the new stuff. You want to tour with the new stuff. But there was a comedian that opened up for him. Can't remember the guy's name, but, you know, he started off a little slow. And he's only got 7 minutes. But then he does this whole bit. He's like, I like romance. I'm bad at it, but I like romance. You know, but I go from 0 to 100 super quick. I'm the smothering type. Like, I recently went on a second date and I decided to do a hot air balloon ride. And he's like, hot air balloon? Did you know on a hot air balloon ride, you have to do it? They don't even fly during the afternoon. You have to be there and off the balloon by 7:15 in the morning. He's like, what's the next step there?
Morning.
Denny? Hey, you want Denny's?
Yeah, he's exactly.
He goes, and then never have I ever. He goes, you're in a wicker basket. I don't trust wicker furniture on the ground. Why is a wicker basket the only thing that can fly
true.
In air? He goes, and then by the way, you're riding and there's a flamethrower on the wicker basket.
Yeah,
he's like, who decided to put a flamethrower on a wicker basket and put it a mile in the sky? He goes, and then you have to deal with the third person that's sitting less than 3 feet from you the entire time. He's like, never in any situation, have ever thought to myself, wow, a random stranger staring at me from 3 feet would be a good idea.
This is true.
Because
this is true. I wanted to do one of those hot air balloon rides,
no.
but they are so early in the morning. I'm like, well, no, I want to do like a sunset.
Yeah, because the updraft, I guess. So I looked this up. So I'm, you know, so that night I'm like, okay, that was a good bit. Let me look. I want to look at the physics of this particular joke. So I looked this up, and it's true. Like, because of the updrafts, because of the warm air rises, right, is the balloon becomes extremely hard to control. Like, sometimes you can't get it down. Like, mm-hmm. if there's hot air in it, it might just stick at a certain level. Mm-hmm. You might be up there all day waiting to come down till the nighttime, till the cold air starts coming down. And you don't have any control over where the fucking thing goes. You can only determine that by the wind, the prevailing winds, and hope that nothing shifts.
Yeah.
Hot air balloon rides are basically gambles with your fucking life. You see that one in Brazil where all those people fell to earth? Did you see that one?
You watch all of that stuff.
No.
I've only seen the beautiful ones where they do, like, what is that sunrise one where it shows all of the hot air balloons going up. It looks so beautiful.
We saw it one time. We were coming home from Indianapolis and we were driving through North Georgia, like back roads of North Georgia because whatever. And it went at 7 a.m. And then we see 50 hot air balloons in the middle of, like, you know, Dahlonega, Georgia or whatever. And I was like, what is that? It's like the hot air balloon fest. My parents went out to the one in, wherever, San Antonio. I don't know. They have a famous
one out
there. Yeah,
there's one out west.
Yeah, there's one out west, and they have like 2,000 of those balloons. They all go up at the same time, and they all come down at the same time. That just seems dumb. Like, I feel like people are going to get hurt. And now they have trackers on the balloons. Like, you go to websites and track balloons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I'd rather track them than flying them. No thanks. No thank you.
Yeah, Jeff said no.
No.
So I was like, well, I'm not going to do it by myself. This is when we were in Colorado.
Yeah. I took Astrid on one of those airplane rides, the biplane rides.
Yeah.
No, I won't make that mistake twice.
You told that story. That's a funny story.
My grand romantic gesture turned into a double panic attack for me and my fiance at the time. Both of us. Literally, there was a hole in the floor. You could see a mile down. And you could step and the whole plane would shake. There's no top
yeah,
on
I'm
it.
I'm good on those.
What if a bird hits you? And then it was like a teenager driving the plane. It was like 7 years old. He was like, hey, y'all ready to go? Like, where's the pilot? It's like, I'm the pilot. Where do you want to fly to? How about we just go up and down the landing strip one time? We'll come back and park.
Just turn around.
And give us some pictures and we'll call it a day. Can you Photoshop it in? And it was 98 degrees on the ground and minus 10 below when you get up in the air. There's nothing fun about it. It really wasn't. I think we both just decided, hey, you know, listen, we tried it. That wasn't for us.
Yeah, you did it.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll talk about McDonald's. Everyone's talking about McDonald's. It's time we talk about McDonald's too. All right. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Okay. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, my God. My ears. I can't take it.
I can hear that from here.
That's great. Well, you can hear it from here because it's the damn sign.
Okay. It's in my ears, too.
Sign. Where? What is going on here? Oh, I think I figured it out.
At the same time, we've now messed up the curtains.
Yeah, well, the curtain. hey. Welcome to the commercial break.
It's a good thing we're live.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're live. Well, now you know there's a white wall behind the curtains. Mm-hmm. I think we've just busted open a big secret. Everyone was wondering, what exactly is behind the commercial breaks sign? It's a white wall. There you go.
Yeah, it's just a wall.
All right, there you go. All right, now it's much better. Look at that. Oh, it looks terrible on YouTube. Terrible. We look terrible on YouTube. By the way, we're streaming most of the episodes that we record now, so you can check that out, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Go to our Instagram, and we'll let you know a couple minutes before we go live. That's usually sometime between noon and 2. You know, perfect time for everybody to join in.
Yeah,
between noon and 2 on a weekday. Yeah. For all those that are getting laid off right now, it's perfect. Don't worry about it. And if you're getting laid off, I really feel bad for you, but it's coming in droves. It's a silent recession going on out there, Chrissy. It's the inflation that's killing us. It's all the everything is so fucking expensive. I can't take it anymore. I don't know. I go to Target, I buy half a thing and I pay $150 for it.
I know, it's really crazy.
I go to Kroger, I pick 10 things out, it's $7,012. It says, do you want to take a loan out on your house? And I said, I'm maxed out. I don't have any more credit.
Or do you want to pay in installments?
Yeah, you want to pay in installments. That's the thing that's coming next, is all those installment payment places are going to fucking crash because no one can afford anything. So we're all doing installments, and we're guilty of it too. Sometimes, you know, it's like, even Airbnb, who used to be pay now, pay us all the money now, and you can never get it back if you change your plans, which people just seem to do. That was during the pandemic. Now even they're like, yeah, pay us a little bit now and a little bit later, because they know that no one can afford it, and they got to entice people to do it. It's a terrible economy right now, and despite what anybody's wanting to tell you, it's getting worse, and it will get worse, and that's okay. You know, economies go through ups and downs. It's not okay, but people – you know, listen.
It contracts and expands.
We are not better off than we were 2 years ago. I don't think anybody could tell you that. I just don't think anybody could tell you that. And they just came out with a report a couple days ago. One of my favorite places in the world to eat, McDonald's. In case you haven't been to a McDonald's lately, the food is fantastic. It is getting so much better. The customer service is sharp. No knock on the people who are working there. You're making $5 an hour.
That's
your
old alma mater.
It's the place where I started my working career, and look how I ended up. Mm-hmm. I started out making $4.75 an hour. I currently am making $4.75 an hour. Everything worked out. Everything's coming up roses.
Steven.
Hey, look at me. Hi, I'm doing great. McDonald's is just such a wonderful place to go. And it's, you know, just.
Well, you know, it's normally reliable. I haven't eaten there in a while, but.
Oh, Chrissy, it's fucking terrible. I'm lying. It's terrible. Okay. It's got the quality of food is crap. You know, it's microwaved burgers, essentially.
Yeah, I used to like their fries.
The fries are good. Mm. I can't deny the fries are good. And every once in a while, you'll go in there and, you know, it'll be made right for some reason. And you're like, holy shit. It's like golf. You know what they say about golf? They say it's that one good shot every 18 holes that keeps you coming. Yes. It's that one good burger every 18 times you go into McDonald's that keeps you coming back. But a lot of people rely on McDonald's. A lot of people rely on fast food.
Absolutely.
And they rely on the cheap nature of fast food because they know they can go get a nice hot meal that will fill up their bellies at least temporarily with no vitamins or nutrition whatsoever. But at least it's putting food in your belly. It keeps you from going hungry.
Yeah, and there's some protein.
Yeah, and there's food deserts out there where you couldn't – the grocery stores, you know, we all know about this. It's a systemic problem. And McDonald's, they just came out with a report that said even McDonald's now is too expensive for the people who make the least amount of money in this country.
I saw that. They're down like, what, 23%?
Yeah. They're
it's something. They're going to bring back the $5 meal.
No, they're too expensive, so they're lowering prices to try and get that segment of the population that typically depends on them again, which is now going to other fast food chains like Wendy's, Taco Bell, and
well, not Wendy's. They're closing.
Well, yeah, Wendy's is closing. I told you last week, you didn't do enough to keep Wendy's around. This is why we can't have nice things. It's because you didn't go to Wendy's and now they're all gone. Okay? So if you like Burger King, get over there. I never liked
Burger King was always lower.
Yeah. When they put those fake hash marks on the burgers to try and make it taste better.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Or the chicken nuggets looked like a chicken.
I wouldn't eat a chicken nugget from Burger King if you paid me. What's going on over here?
I don't know. You're
I'm all bothered.
You're discombobulated.
I'm all bothered. I'm just jittery today. I don't know. All this to say that, you know, McDonald's then announced they're going to do a slash of prices. They're bringing back the $5 value menu, this stuff. They're probably going to start supersizing shit again. McDonald's is up to its old tricks. It's going to get us again with all the cheap food, probably Dick Tracy collectible items so that we all drive through.
I hope. Oh, my God. If they brought back Dick Tracy.
They brought back Monopoly. They brought back Monopoly.
Yeah.
After a whole fucking investigation.
There was that documentary.
15 documentaries about how it was just a rigged game. And you couldn't win it if you tried. They're bringing it back. They bring it back. Okay, good. That's something we liked. We didn't like that only one guy was winning all the stuff, but we liked that, that we were playing the games. We like the Monopoly. Good for you. And now bring back the Dick Tracy collectible cups, and I'm on board. Don't give me none of that fucking Avatar shit. I don't care. I need avant-garde, Warren Beatty type stuff. That's what
the 90s
are in. Bring back Dick Tracy cups at McDonald's. You got me, baby. You got me.
Warren Beatty probably just wouldn't allow it.
Warren Beatty still alive?
Mm-hmm.
He is? Good for him. Yeah. Is he still dating people?
No, he's been married to Annette Bening for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Annette Bening's in that movie too, isn't she? Dick Tracy? Whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm just not Dick Tracy. Okay. So McDonald's is slashing prices, trying to get people back on board. And, you know, McDonald's was involved in one of the best publicity stunts of the entire 2024 campaign. Not McDonald's, the corporation, but McDonald's somewhere out there in the universe. I forget where it was, Ohio or something. When Donald Trump showed up, closed down an entire McDonald's, put on an apron, and pretended to hand out burgers, claiming that, you know, Kamala Harris never worked at a McDonald's. And some people do claim that she never worked at a McDonald's. She just said that. I worked at a McDonald's. I actually worked at a McDonald's. So I don't want anybody talking shit about this. But man, did that publicity stunt? I think it did him some good. You know, I don't know why, but it didn't. I don't know why. Congratulations, you can put on a fry frock and look good. But Trump is out there doing his best to sell to the American people that things are just going great in the economy. Yeah. Meanwhile, everyone who's anyone who's attached to this administration, anyone who's anyone in government has got some inside knowledge about something and is making $1 million a fucking minute while we're all down here realizing that it's too expensive to go to fucking McDonald's.
Yeah.
Last time we took our family to fucking McDonald's, it was like $80.
Really?
$80. To
really?
Get the whole thing. Yeah, Happy Meals, chicken nuggets, french fries, you know, dessert, the whole thing. It was fucking crazy. You know, how do you live like that? Spend $80 at McDonald's. I bought my mom a pizza the other day. A pizza from fucking Domino's. We are not talking about the top of the pizza food chain here. It's Domino's pizza.
Yeah.
30 minutes or less. Avoid the noid. All that other shit. You know what I'm talking about? We're doing that, Chrissy. I'm ordering it. I get, she wants pepperoni. Oh, she calls me, I want pineapple on my pizza. Pineapple? We don't fucking want pineapple, Mom. I want pineapple and ham. I go, pineapple, ham, blah, blah, blah. $42.
Wow.
For a large pizza. I was like, you gotta be kidding, with the tip. You gotta be kidding me. I called my mom back. I said, Mom, you can't afford a $42 pizza.
No, I That's remember insane. Getting them for like $10.
I remember getting them for like $7.99 not too long ago, like when I was single.
Yeah.
How did I know that? Because I had
we would order them every weekend.
Chrissy and I were friendly with the Domino's people. We'd say, hey, Dami Nami Nami knows. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. You're closing in 10 minutes.
Yeah, but we need it.
It's 12:53. Mm-hmm. Chrissy and I are home. Sometimes we'd get
pepperoni
home.
Pepperoni and black olive.
Pepperoni, black olive. Sometimes we'd get home at 12:53 so we could get the Domino's. Yep. Sometimes we'd call them on the way home and say, can you meet us there? I got a cold beer for you. I just picked up a 12-pack from the Chevron. Prices are out of control. Everybody knows it. Things are going to all hell in a handbasket. Layoffs are happening. AI is coming for everybody's job. That guy that is running the whatever labor department just said, you know, yeah, there's going to be no more jobs for kids coming out of college. He proudly said it on TV. It was like, what the fuck are you doing? You take a PR class in your life? So yesterday, the franchisees of McDonald's all got together for the big whoop-de-whoop, the big muckety-mucks, all the muckety-mucks of
like
McDonald's.
The yearly convention?
Yeah, whatever that is, the franchise convention. Mm-hmm. And listen, I'm not talking about the people who are cooking your meal for $1.07 you know, an hour. They can only get part-time work, so that McDonald's have to offer them insurance. I'm talking about the muckety-mucks who own 10, 15, 30 different
Those
fucking McDonald's.
Make money.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that I worked for owned 5 of them in a rather affluent part of Atlanta,
yeah.
Cobb County, 5 of them. This guy was dripping in wealth. Dripping in wealth. I know this for a fact. He's dripping in wealth. But he also owned McDonald's during the heyday of McDonald's, mm-hmm. you know, the 80s and 90s. Anyway, McDonald's is still people love them. They want those franchises. McDonald's has done a good job making sure the franchisees make fucking loot, just like Chick-fil-A. If I could do one thing in my life, I'd own a couple Chick-fil-A's.
Oh my God, you can't. It's like their application process is very strict.
Yeah, you have to go through a few hoops in order to do that. Mm-hmm. They're going to do a full FBI Secret Service investigation on you. And so that takes Chrissy and I out of the running instantaneously. We are done. We're never going to own Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, they're worse than politics.
Yeah, but they have to be. They don't want any bullshit happening, right?
And that's why they have the standard that they do.
Yeah. Okay. So Trump goes to the franchisees yesterday, and he's going to be the keynote speaker. First of all, can we wonder why our president of these United States, when the whole world is crumbling around, why the president of these United States is at the franchisee convention of McDonald's? I don't get it. I don't understand. Maybe he's trying to be a man of the people, whatever. Maybe it's his favorite food. Maybe
I think it is. It's one of, right?
Yeah. His meal. It's like go-to meal that he eats apparently almost daily. It's 2 fish fillets, 2 Big Macs, 2 fish fillets, extra tartar sauce, 2 Big Macs, large Diet Coke, French fries. Is that?
Wow.
How do you survive like that? How do you eat? I wish I could do that.
I know.
And I mean, is the guy in the greatest shape? No. But he's 79 years old and he's still walking around? Some people think
he's got the best doctors.
Yeah. Some people think he's not walking on his own, but okay, that's a different conversation for a different day. Has he had a stroke? I don't know. But he goes to the franchisees convention, and I just want to show you the state of affairs inside of the head of the guy that's leading this nation of ours, Chrissy. Okay. Are you ready for this?
God.
Okay. I know we don't talk politics on this show, but I think this might transcend politics a little bit. I want you to listen to him.
We want to take you out now live. D.C. That is where we see President Trump about to make keynote remarks this evening at the McDonald's Impact Summit, where franchise owners from all over the country are at this summit right now. So we are going to be listening to President Trump remarks on the economy. Of course, we'll probably talk about his brief stint as
mayor. He's waving his hand. He's doing his dance. Uh-huh. Everyone comes for the dance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's whacking himself off in midair. Two dicks. He's got two dicks.
McDonald's worker on the campus.
And by the way, when I say that, you know what I'm talking about. You can visualize it in your head. He's literally yanking on two dicks. That's what he's doing. Where did he get that dance from?
Pain Trail in 2024. Let's listen in here on Live Now from Fox.
They hate to turn that phone, that beautiful song off, but let's get to business, right? And I want to congratulate you. You are with an incredible company, and I'm thrilled to be here with the men and the women who are really the heart and soul of one of the greatest, most admired, and most successful
companies. Things are going so well throughout the country, I thought I could take time to visit and get a couple extra cheeseburgers.
Companies in the history of the world, frankly. The one and only McDonald's. I've gone there a couple of times. And I'm honored to stand before you as the very first former McDonald's fry cook ever to become president of the United States.
Opening up for Nate Bargatze, 2026. Donald Trump. Who writes these jokes?
I actually was there for about 30 minutes, and that was 30 minutes longer than Kamala was there. Despite her job at McDonald's, that didn't work out too well. And the person at McDonald's that informed us off the record that she never worked there, whoever you are, we appreciate that. That was really nice.
He's still litigating the fucking election.
I was going to say, like, just leave
get
it alone.
Over it, dude. Yeah. You won. Take yes for an answer, bro.
But I want to thank,
God. Listen, this keeps going on. I want you to listen to the manner in which he's talking and the tone and strength of his voice. Now, I know he said he had something wrong with his voice. He was yelling about, he said he blew out his voice because he was yelling at a country about tariffs.
Famous Sundar.
Okay.
I love it.
And Sergey Brin. These are two guys that own and run a place called Google. They called me the following day after I did that McDonald's little skit, because it wasn't a commercial. You got it for nothing. It was a skit. And they told me that and I didn't know them. I just
guaranteed there's an invoice coming, McDonald's. Guaranteed there's an invoice coming.
Sure.
First of all, Sergey and Brin called you after you did that skit? Picked up the phone and called you. Does he just make this stuff up on the fly, do you think?
I think so.
Or do you think it's like he pretends that this happened? Mm. Like in his brain, these things happen, like pretend
told him
happened.
That it happened? I don't know.
Did somebody told him it should have happened?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it became, it did happen. Yeah.
I said, who are they? They own Google. I said, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
And that it received more hits than anything else in the history of Google, and that records. It still stands. So congratulations.
Congratulations to who? To me?
Yeah, congratulations to me. Sergey and Brin called me and they said it's got the most hits ever. In the history of ever. The most hits. No hit. No hit is better than this hit. I've had so many hits you wouldn't even believe. So many hits. All the hits. I got a call from the owner of the internet. He said there's the most traffic he's ever seen. One. Video.
Who is that? Who are those people? Google. Well, that's pretty good.
He owns Google. They don't own Google, you idiot. It's a public company. They started Google, to be fair. Yes. You're kind of on the right path there. I don't want to totally knock it. But Sergey and Brin did not call you and say that's the thing that's gotten the most hits on the history of the internet. That's not what happened. Because I don't think that's true.
Congratulations on allowing us to use it, but you made a...
Congratulations on allowing us to use your McDonald's to get the most hits in the history of the internet. God. What in the good fuck is going on? We are not living in a serious country anymore.
No.
A good deal as usual. But you know, in the old days, McDonald's and many others would call me to do this kind of a thing, come over and say some words and talk, and they'd pay me millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Likewise, they'd do it. They'd call others only superstars, and they'd pay them millions of dollars to speak. And as president, I'm doing this damn thing for nothing. Okay?
We're all getting rich off the backs of poor people. Woo! Let him eat cake. Woo-hoo! And bad corn.
You know what? Because it's you, it's an honor to do it, and it's an honor to be here. It really, the job that McDonald's has done is incredible, and that you're doing. But as you may have heard, I'm also one of your all-time most loyal customers. I really am. Well, I'm not thinking. I think that's good. I'm pretty sure that's good. While other politicians fly around on campaign planes stocked with expensive catering, on Trump Force One, prior to...
I have not heard that.
Dun, 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 dun. Here comes Trump Force One. <Red coin. laughs> Trump Force One. Oh, it's so good. It's too good.
Ascending to Air Force One, which is quite a nice plane also. We served only McDonald's almost every time. On occasion, we couldn't find one, which is pretty hard to believe. We'd go another route. But we really did. You fed us very well.
And do you pull into the drive-thru?
I know.
What are you doing with Trump Force One at a fucking McDonald's? What?
We'd go another route if we couldn't find one.
Is this not against some kind of presidential protocol McDonald's?
Nothing is.
Okay.
Anymore.
I'm just wondering. I'm thinking to myself, I mean, God bless. You know, no one wants. Shouldn't somebody be like making the food that has been vetted or something? You really run through a drive-thru in some random town wherever you are and get a million burgers for the president and hope that everything turns out okay? Well, I guess it's McDonald's. How could it be worse, I suppose?
Bobby Kennedy to eat a Big Mac. And he told me he loved it. He didn't want that publicized. He told me he loved it.
Loved it.
It was great. I want to thank McDonald's chairman and CEO, Chris Kempczinski, who I just met backstage. I guess gave him a little piece of my speech signed. I said, do you want to keep this? You can either hang it, you can give it to somebody, or you can throw it away. I don't care.
What is he rambling on about? This is what's going on in our country. This is the guy who's taking us into the zenith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, I should just mention that after this whole speech is over, the White House, the official White House social media account, sends out a picture with the picture of the front of the White House and then the golden arches on top of the White House. This has become Idiocracy in real time.
It has.
It's unbelievable what is going on right now. Mm-hmm. I just point this out to say we got some real fucking problems in this country. And Trump's up there, rubbing and tugging the franchisees of McDonald's. Listen, I'm sure some of those people worked very hard to get where they're at with their franchises. I'm sure there's some of them that worked at McDonald's and then found their way to ownership and all this other stuff. There's probably some real success stories in there of people who just busted their fucking balls to get up there, men and women who just to get up there and become successful. But... sitting up there and talking about the millions of dollars you've made off speeches and you're signing things and you Trump Force One and flying your jet through a double drive-through in Poughkeepsie to get fish fillet sandwiches for RFK Jr. None of this is pertinent to what's going on. I have to say, I think it's happened. I have to agree with my friend who I've never met and probably never will, Tim Dillon. Mm-hmm. I think we've jumped the shark on MAGA at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I think even the people in MAGA even people who consider themselves hardcore MAGA are kind of like, we got bigger fish to fry or fish to fillet than this. All right, let's take a break and then we'll be back. This is like a really long show already.
I know.
We haven't even gotten into like part three of it. Should we just end it now and tell all these people to go home? Or should we give them more of what they want?
I think we should give them
all four people will get more of what they want. In just a second, we'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Bad gone.
Trump Force One.
But
Force
I don't One. Stay on the speech too long anyway. You know, so usually those speeches aren't too accurate what I give. But McDonald's USA president is here, Joe Erlinger. Joe, wherever you may be, thank you very much. Thank you, Joe. Good job, along with everyone from the International Franchise Association, which does really fantastic work.
Do you even know that? I mean, I realize you got to jerk people off a little bit when you go to these conferences like that, but yeah. Does he know that they do great work, the International McDonald's Corporation?
I do. I've heard from many people you do a fantastic job. So thanks as well to two former McDonald's operators now serving in Congress, Representative Kevin Hearn and Chuck Edwards. Are you here, fellas?
Are you here?
Oh, okay. All right.
And they're warriors, those two. They're warriors. Thank you very much. Great job. And, of course, let me thank the people who truly keep the McDonald's magic alive. The incredible
Ronald McDonald and the and the Hamburglar. I'd like to bring up the Hamburglar. Where's the Hamburglar? Where are you, Hamburglar?
Franchisees, and you got a lot of them here tonight.
One lady's really excited to be there. She's like, wah!
People go crazy.
They do go crazy.
Yeah, and you're the heart and soul, and they would tell you that all the time. They tell me that. You carry on the commitment to what Ray...
Okay, all right, I'll just, whatever. Yeah. All right, whatever. Okay. Carry on the commitment of Ray Kroc. Like, Ray Kroc was so huge. Like, visionary. He was a real estate guy, and he really did
That's
very
true.
Well.
It's a real estate game.
By the way, he stole the McDonald's from two brothers.
He did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watch the movie, and you can see that Ray Kroc may not have been the champion that Donald Trump would like him to have been. But, you know, I'm not sure that Trump did any of that kind of research. We got a very serious there's a lot of problems in this country right now.
Yeah.
And I don't think he needs to be at the franchisee thing. I just don't. I think he needs to be in the White House figuring out with other members of Congress and the Senate how we're going to keep our health care at a reasonable cost and then fix the systemic problem that is American health care.
Yeah.
Keep us on the edge of innovation, but keep the cost down. Figure out that problem. Figure out how we're going to put more money in people's pockets, not by subsidizing billionaires, you know, tax breaks and all this other stuff.
Or a 50-year mortgage.
A 50-year mortgage. If I get a 50-year mortgage right now, the mortgage company is going to end up on the losing end of that deal. I'm just saying. Can you only get that when you're 19 years old?
I don't know.
How do you do that? Yeah. But that guy, Pulte, he's another. I mean, Pulte Homes is huge, right? It's huge. It's the single largest builder in the United States of America. And this guy, Pulte, now is, you know, inside the White House, running around like a bull in a china shop, just, you know, 50-year mortgage, 100% interest rebates, let's do it. You realize you're going to pay an extra $700,000 on like a $100,000 mortgage. It doesn't make any sense, except unless you're my age. And then you go, yeah, sure, why not? 50-year mortgage. I'm starting to think about, you know, 3 or 4 year car loans. Will I even be alive to pay them? You got to underwrite me that way. These are dumb ideas. They're unserious ideas. They're not, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what we're doing. We've jumped the shark here. Let's get our shit together. Let's stop taking people from the streets and kidnapping them all over this country. And let's get out of the Caribbean and stop bombing boats that we don't even know who's on the boat. And let's get back to figuring out how we make America you know, a better place for everybody, not just Elon Musk and his cronies.
Right.
That's just it. That's my opinion. I'm not a politician, but I would like that. Thank you very much. Thank best viewers. Thank you very much. Best viewers from Streambo. Thank you very much. I would like to figure out how we do that. And I think that's why some people on the more conservative end of things right now are getting frustrated, mm-hmm. is because this kind of America First agenda, it is a sad state of affairs when even I start to agree. Are you seeing the total makeover of Marjorie Taylor Greene right mm-hmm. now? The total makeover of Marjorie Taylor Greene. It is a sad state of affairs when even I am going.
I mean, I think a lot of people are saying the same thing.
She might be making a little sense. Now, I realize she's doing this for political points. She's a political animal. She understands where to go to get her food. She knows where her bread is buttered. But someone who's talking common sense is someone who's talking common sense. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with her on almost anything. I'm not going to forget how whatever, but when she goes on these like Sunday shows and she's sounding like a human being, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh shit. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene's making sense?
Right.
Well, shit. She went on Bill Maher and I was like, oh, okay. All right.
Really? I haven't seen that one.
You got to go check that out. Mm-hmm. It's a complete makeover. Well, listen, populism is populism. You got to go where the attitudes are. You got to go where the moods are. And she is a populist at the end of the day, right? She's trying to get where she's taking the temperature and she's realizing that, you know, this current immigration policy, the interior immigration policy, I'm talking about the border policy, this current interior immigration policy is extremely unpopular. People are struggling to make ends meet. People are losing their jobs. Everyone else up here is talking about how great everything mm-hmm. is. By the way, which is where Marjorie Taylor Greene sits.
Yeah.
She is a multi-multi-millionaire. But she is realizing that all the people that she serves that vote her into office are going.
County up in West Georgia.
It's a tiny little county up in West Georgia.
Northwest Georgia. Which she moved to just to be able to get into that district so she could win.
Yeah.
But yeah, those people, I mean, they're hurting.
They're hurting. All of us are hurting. Yeah. Even us extremely unpopular podcasters are hurting right now. I mean, look at Two Bears, One Cave. They're not doing good. Things aren't going well over there. We got to help these guys out. The truth is, you know, Nate Bargatze only has one plane right now. One plane, guys. What are we going to do?
Just one.
Nate.
Bargatze.
But the reality for her is she's a political animal. She's going where politics, the political
winds
are blowing. Yeah. That's right. Absolutely. And I guess, you know, we'll argue about what she did in the past later, but you can agree with her now. And, you know, now we're going to have this Epstein vote, but nothing's going to happen, you know. Here's why nothing's going to happen. Let me share with you this real quick. Epstein vote's going to happen today.
I saw that.
Almost everybody's going to vote to release the files,
yes.
including Republicans, because they have to. Donald Trump gave them political cover by saying, go do it. He's saying, go do it, because 3 days earlier, he announced that he's going to open up investigations on all the Democrats mm-hmm. that are involved in the Epstein file. Here's why that's such a big deal. That is a big deal, because those investigations will then shut down the Senate, the congressional oversight's ability to get at most of those documents mm-hmm. because now the FBI is going to say it's an active investigation. Mm. When there's an active investigation, some of those files are going to be locked up behind a wall that only the FBI or investigators can get to before it gets to a grand jury or out into the public testimony. And so, you know, Donald Trump played a card here, and don't believe for one second anybody's going to see anything more than they've already seen. But the emails are enough if you read.
Yeah, what we've seen so far is
it's very interesting.
Damning.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's damning for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Not just Donald Trump.
Everybody.
A lot of people.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people on both sides of the aisle. Senators, congressmen, billionaires,
professors, businessmen,
professors, athletes. Listen, this was like the most powerful guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
His people were calling him for favors like halfway across the world. They were texting him, you know, oh, I need to do something in Eritrea. Oh, okay, I'll send this person to Zimbabwe. It seemed like Jeffrey Epstein was like at the center of the world.
I've seen so many documentaries and I still don't know for sure how. He just like scammed his way kind of to the top.
Some people think he was an operative.
Maybe blackmailed people?
Yeah, he certainly was blackmailing people. Certainly was blackmailing people. But was he an operative is the question. Was he a state actor working on behalf of a country or multiple countries like the United States and maybe Israel, and maybe he was CIA and maybe he was MI6. Who fucking knows? I don't know. I don't want to get into like conspiracy stuff, but I've read a lot of stuff and I'm going, yeah. Oh, that makes sense. That's why everyone was calling him for favors. But he just seemed to know everybody.
He did.
And seemed to be in everybody's pocket. And it's crazy. And so when all this stuff comes out, it's going to be a happy, 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 joyous occasion. And we're all going to learn that everybody who's been in government, running mm-hmm. businesses, or hanging out with our favorite people, really were just, you know, Epstein cucks. And they were all in each other's Rolodexes, mm-hmm. calling, talking, exchanging dollars, exchanging information to give themselves the edge, to make themselves richer, to abuse people. It's kind of sad. But the truth is, we've jumped the shark on this one.
Yeah.
Like, I've jumped the shark on this one long ago. And so, you know, MJT, not on my favorites list. She's not on my family list on my iPhone, Chrissy.
Not in your group chat?
No, not in my group chat. But I will say this. Hey, when you're talking sense, you're talking sense. And I can agree
with it. Give it to it where it's due.
I can agree with you talking sense. All right.
Blue's not talking sense.
What the fuck is she talking about this time? Honestly. All right, streaming on YouTube, streaming on Twitch. At the commercial break on YouTube, at TCB Podcast on Twitch. We'll come back. We'll come back for anybody watching. We'll come back in like 15 minutes. Anybody who's not watching, who's listening to this on the replay or the recorded version of this, you can follow us on Instagram at the commercial break, and then you'll be notified when we go live. If you have anything to say, 212-433-3TCB. I got a new phone today, so our phone's back working.
Oh, you got the other new phone.
Yeah, one of my kids broke the old phone.
Right. So the new TCB phone.
The TCB phone was broken. People were freaking out. They're like DMing me on Instagram. Are you okay? Is everything? I haven't heard from you. Yeah, I have kids. They broke the phone. And I don't have, like, on that phone, I don't have, like, the go into the store plan. You got to, like, send it in, and then they send you one, and it's a whole thing. You know how I am. I take my time. I don't like to get too excited about anything. I'm not very excitable. I don't know if you've noticed. Thanks to Aaron Weber and Nate Bargatze.
Aaron Weber.
Sorry to Aaron Weber and Nate Bargatze. I'm so fucking embarrassed. I'll never live that down.
Forget about it.
No, he's probably went to the club that night and was like...
I probably did too.
He's like, you went on the commercial break, right? Right? What is he talking about? We got a reputation to uphold, Chrissy. All these comics are in the clubs talking about me. Ghost texting. I'll be the one in jeans. Aaron's probably like, is he hitting on me?
Right.
Is he hitting on me? Does he want me to come to State Farm Arena? Does he know I know Nate? Is he asking me on a date? Does he have an extra ticket? Aaron, I was trying to see if you needed an extra ticket. That's why I was texting you. Should have called me back. I could have gotten you into the Nate show. So anyway, 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. Give me a couple days. I got to go through 1,000 text messages.
I was going to say, how many loaded up?
Oh, I don't know. 120 or something like that. Yeah, tcbpodcast.com. All the audio and video in your free sticker. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for right now.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe and streaming. We'll be back in about 20 minutes. Until then, we will say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.
Get ass.